Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Normally we talk about ancient history, but today we're going to talk about current events. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow have been arrested for the murder of Lori's children, as well as other relatives to both of them. It's a very strange story, and it's still an ongoing story. We're going to talk about their apocalyptic beliefs and how they affected these murders with Dr. Christopher Blythe. Check out our conversation.
Chad Daybell is the reason Chad Daybell does not play a role in this book is because he wasn't that controversial of a figure before this moment. He was a fiction novelist about last days. He was kind of like Timothy LaHaye writing the Left Behind series for Christians, you know, the story of the rapture and how do the sort of left behind new Christians deal with living in this apocalyptic world and trying to fight the Antichrist and so on. So he's writing various stories of Latter-day Saints who are living in the last days. And the stories are they're very similar to the prophecies that have been given over time. And he tells the story of a family in Springville and how it goes for them after this period. He's also a publisher. He published Julie Rose's accounts. He also published, I'm not going to remember her name right now, published several visionaries over a decade or so, giving them a voice. And his publisher really had a pretty good, they were the market for this Latter-day Saint last days material. So Chad Daybell, in 2017, comes out and says, I was never just a novelist. I was actually a visionary. And the things I was writing about and these novels that I told you were fiction are actually the story I've seen playing out. And I'm this one father in the story itself. And the father, I mean, he was a leader who is going to kind of become like a Provo Temple president during the last days and things. So he announced that he's this visionary. He claims that he had a near-death experience. It was a little unique near-death experience. He was cliff diving and had a rough fall. And although he didn't die, he was able to swim to shore, something happened. You know, he had this huge fall, and he had this vision as part of it. And that vision would relate to the last days and other things. So, Julie and Chad are friends because he's her publisher. Julie is kind of dwindling. Chad publishes his autobiography, and things we allege later. Julie's story is kind of developed here because initially she's very supportive of Chad. We'll talk about why. There'd be a question whether she'd be supportive in a second, but. She'll later tell us that they kind of had this falling out for the last year, you know, 2019, when they didn't have much contact. But 2019, Chad Daybell makes the news. Chad, his wife has died suddenly in Springville. He marries a woman just a few weeks later, Lori Vallow. Lori Vallow's husband has been killed by her brother several months before, and also two of her children are missing. It becomes a major case, and rather than tell the whole story, I'll let your viewers, listeners, look it up. But it becomes a major controversy. Chad and Lori are approached by the police. Where are these children? The grandma is very concerned. They say they're safe in Arizona with our friend. Police call the friend. It becomes known very quickly that the children are not there. And Lori and Chad take off to Hawaii. Eventually they're tracked down there by reporters, and the police have been watching them. Long story short, months go by. the prepper community, who have been eating out of Chad Daybell's hands, excited to hear his visions and so on for a couple of years now, defend him initially. And that includes Julie Rowe, who says that she's seen the children. They're fine. They're in Hawaii, too. Everything's great. And certainly Chad didn't kill his wife. Now, really, there's a lot of support, and so much so that there's a segment of within this community that's absolutely appalled by the defense of Chad Daybell, that says it doesn't make sense. Why would you not say where these two children are? An 8-year-old boy and a 16-year-old girl or 17-year-old girl. Excuse me. So eventually, Lori Vallow, who is ordered to bring the children into court in Idaho, she refuses to do so. She gets arrested. Chad will later be arrested after the bodies of these two children are found on his property. The moment that happens, before, Julie will say she doesn't believe it anymore. She thinks Chad has, that these children are dead, and that Chad's done some bad things, at least, involved in these situations. And she wanted to believe the other vision that she had had or experienced, but didn't discern it properly. She discusses this on a Lindsay Hanson Park interview, so I don't want to put words into her mouth, but you can listen to it in more detail there. But she changes her mind on this. Chad himself has made a few statements when people accuse him of strange beliefs. He has said, and I think that really caused the rift between him and Julie, in public sentiment at least, he said, "I don't believe any of these weird things. Those are all things Julie believes." And the things were, emphasis on past lives, an emphasis on possession, an emphasis on the idea that you might be, you might find out that although you're married to this person, two other women around here you've been married to in past lives or two other men.
So kind of a reincarnation kind of a thing.
Oh, certainly. Reincarnation is huge, both for Julie and for Chad. And I think, there's really this a sort of community of alternative writers among Latter-day Saints. And Julie Rowe is certainly one of them. Douglas Mendenhall is another. There's a website that's anonymous. I'm not going to remember the title of the website, but I can find it for you later. But it's a website that includes lots of visions and discussion of reincarnation in various estates. Also, the idea that the devil can be incarnated, too, in various states. A definite emphasis on conspiracy theory, modern Gadient and robbers, and a last days, of course, imminent. But really an emphasis on demonology, the idea that we are all being, we see this most in Pentecostalism. I've been called out because I've said a lot of Chad's beliefs. People might think of Pentecostals before they thought of Latter-day Saints. And in that, I meant this active emphasis on demonology. So even third wave charismatics instead of Pentecostals sometimes. This idea of we are all dealing with evil beings that might possess us, but might also tempt us or assault us. And in return, we need to use spiritual weapons, the helmet of Christ, and all sorts of interesting symbols that are taken literally in this language. The devil has gotten me with a dart, and I'm hurt or sick, or he's put in a sort of explosive device. It's interesting material, and it's all over there.
Strange material.
Strange material. That's the writings of Douglas Mendenhall. And so I don't think Chad is the only one. I think this is kind of a movement of writers emphasizing these ideas, reincarnation, demonology, conspiracy theory, The idea of portals is a big point. The idea of translation, you know, becoming immortal. All of these ideas are being promoted by these different authors. And so there's probably a group of 1,000 people that read it. But in the case of Chad Daybell, it seemed to come up with some terrible results. So at this point, children have been discovered. Julie's disavowed him, as has the prepper community. And we'll see what happens in court. But it would appear that from interviews around that Lori, Chad's new wife, had come to believe that her children were zombies and that they had an idea that their term for zombie meant that you'd become possessed so much that your own spirit couldn't possess your body again. Your spirit stuck out there in sort of limbo, and now your body is being used by something evil. And so you're no longer Rick Bennett, you are fill in the blank.
Well, one of her children had autism, is that correct?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This child, and she saw that his behavior, allegedly on his last day on Earth, his behavior, she claimed, telling her friend Melanie, that he had climbed up onto a ledge and knocked over a picture of Jesus, and he was acting bizarre, and she believed was a sign that he was possessed. And so, you know, we'll see what's determined, but usually they would pray. So every day they would pray to get rid of all the zombies in the world. And according to Melanie Gibb, who was their friend at the time, they could then say, you know, this morning there was 1,000 zombies in the world, but now there's 940. So we know that our prayers wiped out 60 zombies, sort of thing. But in this case, it seems like they were more proactive in ridding the world of zombies. So
This is a terrible story.
It is a horrible story. And that's the, you know, as I write about this, I had even a professor I worked with that was listening to an interview I did on Chad Daybell the other day, and he said, you know, Chris, it's just too disgusting. Like, there's no, like, this sounds like a second book, but you don't want to write that book. It's too sickening.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Christopher Blythe. Our next conversation with him will be our last, and so it's only going to be available to newsletter subscribers. So subscribe to our free newsletter at gospeltangents.com/newsletter, and I'll send you a secret link to the final conversation. We're going to talk about the White Horse Prophecy and Mitt Romney's campaign for president.
Now today, everybody has forgotten the actual document of the White Horse Prophecy. Very few people know or have read the White Horse Prophecy itself. Instead, they just know this phrase, the Constitution will hang by the thread, and one of the elders will save it. And at some point, this took on a political dimension.
Thanks for listening to Gospel Tangents. I really appreciate it. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for just $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without interruptions. Also, we've also got transcripts available, like these here, that are available on Patreon as well as on our website. So to get those, just for $10 a month, you can subscribe and hit the yellow subscribe button. We've also got paperbacks like these. If you want to get those, you can get those at Amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can get the paperback versions. Or we've also got subscriptions on those as well. And if you subscribe on our website, I'll send those to you as soon as they're finished automatically. Don't forget to get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to tweet at us at gospeltangents. Of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And please give us a 5-star rating for those of you who listen to audio only. And of course, you should show your support for Gospel Tangents with one of these cool t-shirts, like this green one, or light blue, sport gray, royal blue, purple, of course black, beautiful gold, and of course Utah red. I've probably left out some colors, but if you want to see more, go to gospeltangents.com/shop and you can get one of these. So by the way, if you get one of these by Christmas and show your support for Gospel Tangents, I'll even send you a copy of a PDF transcript of your choice, anyone. So just make your order hopefully by December 1st so you can get it in time for Christmas. And but I'll even keep it open till through the end of the year. So just sign up, get a t-shirt at gospeltangents.com/shop, any color that you like, and I will send you a free PDF if you do it before the end of the year. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.